Drum roll, please. Cosby Mysteries. That's the name of our theme song.
Cosby Mysteries.
How you doing out there? Today is Wednesday, December the 14th of the year 2022. I know you're just now hearing that the year is 2022, but it's almost over. Yay. That may be a good thing, and it may not. People like to think, well, 2023 is going to be a better year, right?
Maybe, I hope so.
Maybe, maybe not. So that's in God's hands, the future, okay? Now, there remains 11 days until Christmas. You better get busy finishing up your Christmas shopping if you haven't finished. Or maybe some of you haven't even begun. I know people that wait until Christmas Eve to start. So if that's you, good luck to you. There remains 18 days until the year of 2023. I'm going to sing that song before it comes in on the show, Auld Lang Syne.
Okay.
Hope I don't break people's eardrums, but I'm going to give it a try in the future.
Thanks for the warning.
Yes. Well, welcome to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and this is live on WGH Talk. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn and search WWGH on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, or any other electronic device where you can download apps. Okay, the name of the app, once again, is called TuneIn. Or you can call in and be a part of the show, like right now, by calling 740-383-9944. If you'd like to ask questions or just make comments or be a part of the show, ask Jeff a question. He's going to be our guest, author of Expressions of the Last Days, and he has a lot to say.
Have to give me some coffee first.
They might do that, right?
Well, order it.
Right, order some coffee in. Okay. All right. Let me share with you those who faithfully supported Voice of a People. Starting with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, free produce. You know, it's Christmas time, and a lot of people may have need of free produce, so please share this information with them. This will take place this Saturday, December the 17th at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Okay, 12 noon until 2 p.m. Last one of the year, because this is the last month of the year. Now, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, of 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone there, 740-382-8552. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner, Cheryl Lee. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-262-0939. And thank you for all my supporters, those who come here and sit across from me and talk. Thank you for that. Thank you for tuning in to www.wwgh1071.com. Or maybe you're on the TuneIn app. Thank you for your dedication. Thank you for your support. I really appreciate you. A shout out to each and every one of you. Now, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. That thought is titled, Appreciate the Gift. Not just necessarily talking about Christmas gifts and appreciate those. Now, I hope I didn't. You know what? I turned my phone off. They download so much, so many.
Advertisements.
Yes, on your on my Gmail.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna be able to find it. So I thank God I wrote it down on my last guest. Okay, appreciate the gift. When you open your eyes in the morning, sit for a moment and appreciate the gift of a new day. Create a peaceful thought and enjoy some moments of silence throughout the whole entire day. Doesn't that sound good?
Yes, it does.
Start the day off with peace. End the day with peace. Oh, I'm telling you, it's so important to have peace in your life.
Yes, it
really is. And not only that, the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
There
That's
is
the
a,
most important
Yes, thing. The Prince of Peace. Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes.
So, Jeff Porter, what? Author of Expressions of the Last
yes.
Days, how you doing today?
I'm just wonderful.
Well, thank you for last minute coming in.
No problem. No problem at all.
And praise God.
Well, we were the last time we talked, and I was so glad we went into this subject of grace.
Okay.
Because Angela was here, was talking about how she went through a lot of abuse too. It was like this lady that was on before. I think, and I don't know if anybody's been through more turmoil and more abuse than Angela.
You mean Annette?
Sorry, Annette. I got her name wrong. And because I read her book.
Right.
And chill. And she's been through the mill.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I think the idea, the concept of grace has been chopped up by individuals and the church through the years. And, you know, it's almost as if they think they can put a man on the steps of the church and say, you can come in and you can't. You can come in and you can't. The reason why they say they don't do that. But they do in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that when you get in there and they start treating you however they're going to treat you in there, they show you whether you're welcome or not. You know? And if you have a person who comes in, like I remember watching a movie, this guy was horribly disfigured. Like the Hunchback of Notre Dame or something. And I said, I wonder if when some of these people, you don't see them in church, but if they did come to church, you know, maybe once in a blue moon you see somebody like that, how are they going to be treated? You know, they're not normal according to our agenda, you know. And this is like this one pastor, he said, you know, he was talking about his whole sermon was on you must be born again. And he said, why does this person over here have a right to be saved, to be born again, and be and have a family of God, and this person over here, just because they're disfigured, is not welcome in the kingdom of God?
Hmm.
Because of their disfigurement? You know, and the churches say, oh no, we don't treat people like that. Well, I've been in church for a long time, and I know they do.
Hmm.
They do have their prejudices, you know.
Respect of persons.
Yeah. And, of course, it's only human to maybe be that way. You might be that way at first with somebody, and then later on, you know, change your attitude. But when Mike and I were on the streets, we ran into a lot of prejudice from people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all they had to do was be friendly. Maybe if they would have gave us let us go take a shower and put on clean clothes, maybe things would have been different, you know.
Right, right.
But there's so much selfishness these days. You know, I don't want this person interrupting my comfort zone, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we do have places like they had a Christian rehab in North Carolina where you could go in and they would give you you could take a shower and change. I don't know if you could change clothes or not, but went there a couple of times. You can't go there too much, though, because eventually they, you know, you're coming in here too much.
Bless you.
Thank you. So grace gets chopped up.
Wow. That's not good.
No, it isn't. And, I'll tell you a perfect example of where grace is chopped up is...
Woo, bless you.
My, oh my.
You need a cough drop?
I'll take one.
Okay.
The one place that I don't like to see grace chopped up is with tithing. They insist that, you know, tithing is required under the New Testament, 10% of your income under the New Testament. It's like, I remember this guy saying, he was a car salesman, and he had bought a car or sold a car for, it was an expensive car, he made some money off of it, and the church was kind of like waiting around for their 10%. After they heard about his sales, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's none of their business. If he didn't give anything to them, what would they have to say about it? You know, was he a criminal or something? You know, get out? What are they going to do to you if you don't pay your tithe? You know. So, and the bad part about that is that they... Some of them watch how much you give. Now, I don't know exactly how they do that. If they're just passing around a bucket, you can't tell how much that person gave. But sometimes they have those envelopes, you know, and they'll pull them out and they'll see how much you've given, and somehow they find out what your income is. You know? And then, you know, try to mess with you that way, because... What they do is, now your punishment for sometimes for not tithing is you can't hold an office. You know, you're not allowed to be in the choir, or you're not allowed to be an usher, or, you know, be involved in programs, you know, like school programs, like singing. You're not allowed to be a singer up there or play an instrument. I think that is absolutely ridiculous, you know.
Well, Paul gives us a good example of giving. He really doesn't talk about tithing, but I think it's 2 Corinthians 9 or 10.
Yeah, he who gives sparingly shall reap sparingly.
Not that one. About, you know, give as God has purposed in your heart.
Yeah. Well, those two or three verses go together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... But if you, there are people that believe so strongly in tithing that they will give tithe even if their family's in trouble financially and they're having trouble putting food on the table, you know. And I think that's outrageous.
Hmm.
But they will refer to Malachi 3 and say that. Because of what it says in Malachi 3. And by the way, I thought we were no longer under the law, but under grace. And that is really the crux of my argument. But I didn't want to just go into tithing anyways. But I was just going to say that is one place where I think... All right, the pastor gets up and he preaches a sermon. And grace, 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 everything's based on grace, you know. Maybe tell a story or have a guy give a testimony of how he ended up in prison for so long and opened up his Bible, how God spoke to him over the radio or a sermon or something. He got saved while he was in prison. And you say, well, we understand grace that much, you know, that you can be forgiven for any sin, no matter how serious,
mm-hmm.
You know. So there's grace, 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 except for when it comes to giving.
I see where you're coming from now.
Yeah. And if it comes to giving, you better give or else a great curse will come upon you, like in Malachi 3. See, and I don't agree with that. I'm sorry.
Right, right.
I heard a pastor tell a story about how there his daughter some of his family was in a car, and they hit a patch of ice, actually on the way to church, and their car turned over a couple of times. And he said that God saved his daughter and his family because he pays tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're paying God for what? Insurance?
No.
Make sure that you know, something like that doesn't happen?
Make sure he covers you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Wow.
He looks over here in the in his books and says, oh, I see you're paid up on your tithe. Okay, all right, well, we'll save your family from this.
And man may have gotten that wrong and all out of proportion, you know, about give your 10%, because the scripture that you just read, that's not even to the congregation. That was to the priest, wasn't it, that they had to...
Malachi 3, I hadn't gotten to it yet.
They had to give out of their abundance, like... Their coal, their oil, and all that type of thing. Their sheep, and
it wasn't even money.
No, it wasn't even money. No, no. It was about their possessions, and all that came under the law, also. Right? Am I right or wrong?
Yes.
Yes. All that came under the law
because the Levites,
right,
were the priests. Were the priests of Israel then, and they didn't have farms and stuff. And so they used that food that the farmers brought in to give to them so they could eat.
I'm sorry, here's a cough drop. I had to get it out of my...
Thank you. So, you know, got to be careful about this idea that God's going to love us because we pay out money.
And that's a terrible thought.
It is.
You think God won't love me if I don't give the church 10% of my earnings. That's a terrible thought. But give how he has purpose in my heart to give. I'm all for that. Because he will tell you what to give. And then you can give with, you know, heartily, with all your heart. You know, your heart is in it then. Well, this is what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And God appreciates this. And he accepts this.
Yeah, according to your heart, it says.
Right, according to your heart.
But you've robbed God, it says in Malachi 3.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. How many times have you heard this in church and
every
on
Sunday.
TV?
Used to be every Sunday.
Yeah. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. But you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And then what they're trying to say in modern day Christianity is that the church is the storehouse. I don't agree with that either. That there may be food in my house. And try me now in this saying, says the Lord of hosts. It will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings. Then there will not be room enough for you to receive it. So I've asked people that tithe, I believe strongly in tithing. When has this happened to you, this great outpouring of great blessings upon you? You know, he will open the windows of heaven. They say, well, it's not always just money, it's other things too, you know. So you could pick out anything and justify the idea that...
So the question you would have for them is this because you are putting money in the church that God is blessing
you
so abundantly?
You're giving money.
In other words, like you're saying, you're paying God to do these things for you.
That's the impression I get.
Wow. That's something.
And I remember a discussion one time when I quit arguing about tithing quite a while ago. But we were having this discussion in a Bible discussion group. Oh gosh, it must have been at least 3 or 4 years ago. And this guy was actually pounding on his Bible because I said I didn't believe that 10% giving was a requirement under the New Testament.
Right.
And he was just pounding on his Bible. That's how people are about tithing. You know, if you disagree with tithing, and you don't believe me, give it a shot. Try disagreeing with tithing sometime.
Right, right.
In a Bible discussion group and see what people do. They get actually almost violent. Because the Christian leaders of our day have brainwashed people, as far as I can say. We must question things. You have to be a questioner. You can't just sit there and go, oh, yeah, if the pastor says we got to bring 10 elephants next week or else, you know. Some people believe that, you know.
That's
so you
got
to be careful what you believe and why you believe it.
Because they look at the man of God as a, you know, authority.
Yeah.
You know. And he's also supposed to be a watcher of our souls. He's supposed to lift up prayers for the congregation.
He's supposed to filter out this kind of stuff.
Right. Right.
But when it comes to money, you know,
well,
people's minds change about things.
The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes.
We do know that because people love it, you know, and they'll do anything to get it. But I think maybe that goes along with wrong teaching. And it just didn't spring up.
Some,
it's been around.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Some pastors, they don't know any better. They've been taught tithing. Nobody's ever challenged it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. And they just believe it because they think it's part of the normal curriculum or something. Have never really thought about it.
And, oh, Rick, a pulse concept.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They haven't, not indoctrinated, but accepted pulse doctrine.
That's what Paul spent most of his writings and his ministry trying to convince the Jews that we're no longer under the law. We're under grace. And why is it, tell me, Linda, why is it that people, the groups and individuals want to slide back into that thing where we're depending on the law for things?
I don't know, but they're doing it.
They do it all the time.
Yes.
Well, you know, there's this ego thing in church, too. You know, this person over here does a lot of marvelous things. And I get, you know, they should be given credit for that. But our heart motivation is that we should do what God has called us to do. And they're not what will impress a bunch of people.
Right.
You know, but if there's anything I've noticed in churches, like, this person is put into a certain position over here, and they get, after years of being there, they feel like they own that position, and if anybody comes along that knows as much as they do or is able to do as much as they are, they become jealous. They feel like that new person is threatening their popularity and their platform, and they have to protect it, so they treat that person not very well.
True.
You know. And there's a lot of different ways you could do that with that passive-aggressive attitude that people have.
Right.
In the church, you know. Now, how they can do that and still look at themselves in the mirror or listen to sermons about this stuff, and it doesn't even affect them. So there must be suffering from hardness of heart. In that area, you know, the only thing they care about is the accolades of men, you know. And that is not what our goal is. Our goal is to serve the Lord. Sometimes we have to take a couple of notches down. God sometimes will take us a couple of notches down.
Amen.
You know, we start thinking we're hot stuff, you know. And I've done that before. You know, I thought I was hot stuff or something.
A couple of notches down.
And the Lord had to bring me down a little bit. I don't mind because it keeps me from turning into a...
He knows how to keep you humble.
Yeah, you know.
Right, humble. And realize, hey, if it wasn't for you, Lord, I would be nothing. I wouldn't even be here. The thought for today, appreciate the gift. Another day, another blessed day. God's grace and mercy, you know, that's what we are. We experience every morning.
Yes.
Our eyes are open, you know, and take advantage of God's grace and mercy and be thankful for it. But like you said, now, Paul was sent to the Gentiles to tell them the difference between the law and grace.
Yes.
We're no longer under the law.
Well, look what happened. He got stoned. He got beat up.
Everywhere he turned.
Yeah.
But see, those were religious people.
Yes.
That's what the law is. It's for religious people who think that they just have to do something to earn God's grace.
When I introduced Rick, a friend of mine said, let's start up a new class. What we want to do is produce leaders out of that class. And he wanted me to teach the apologetics side, which is something that apologetics was starting to meld away out of the church. Now it's almost completely gone now. But apologetics is a study of the defense of the doctrine of the church. And I started talking about the prosperity movement. I talked about, there was a movement called Promise Keepers for a while that was involved in prosperity and Catholicism, stuff like that. And so when I mentioned Promise Keepers, this guy stood up in that class and he gave me, I don't know, a 15-minute lecture on how wonderful Promise Keepers was. I wasn't attacking the people, and there was their doctrine I didn't like. And I said, you got to be careful about these new groups popping up all over the place. That's been the big problem in Christianity these days, is they're allowing just about anybody to come in and be part of Christianity. You can let people come in and attend, but you're not supposed to become part of their agenda, you know. I might visit a Mormon church, but I may not want to join up with them.
Right.
And they say, what they say is, you know, when you bring up apologetics, which is to, let's say, defend the virgin birth, defend the star, what was the star, you know, defend grace. And they'll say, well, if you believe in grace, then you should be allowed to believe anything.
Why is that?
Because grace is, you know, forgiveness.
That doesn't mean believe in anything. It means believe that grace came and died for you on the cross.
Yes.
And forgave you of all your sins, which that really happened before the foundation of the world. It just didn't actuality happen, the reality of it on the earth where men could see it. That didn't happen until Christ came. You know, but like you told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. Yeah. I knew you and I sanctified you and I ordained you as a minister. Now, he didn't wait till Jeremiah got here to do that. These things were preordained.
Yes.
You know, just like Christ's death, it was before the foundation of the world. It was already...
Well, we've got this thing going around called hypergrace. Whereas, you know, they're trying to say that you can do anything you want. You can believe anything you want because of grace.
No, that's because you have free will.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Free will. God gives us all free will. And yes, you can believe what you want.
You can believe what you want. You're going to go out there and do what you want. But they're trying to say there are no consequences.
Oh, yes, there are.
When it comes to stand before the Lord.
Oh, yeah. God is not a man that he has to lie, nor the son of man that he has to repent of anything that he has said.
That's right.
He said, I will be back. He's not coming back for your sins. He's already forgiven you for your sins, but he's coming back to see whether you believe. Is there faith on the earth? Do you believe what I did for you?
Yes.
That I came here in the flesh and gave up my life for you, shed all my blood for you. Do you believe that?
Good preaching. Yes.
You know, that's what he's coming back for.
He's not coming back as the suffering servant.
No, no, he's not.
He's coming back as the king.
As the king of kings and lord of all lords.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's coming back. So do not fool yourselves out there thinking that, oh, you got it made, you can do what you want to do. Yeah, you can, because God has given us all free will.
But you know, that's the way it was in Noah's time.
Yes.
He said they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And he picked things that of themselves are not sins, but they're focusing on all their pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all their fun and everything, and ignoring God.
Right.
You know, and there was terrible violence during that time. And they thought it was okay.
Right.
Know, because God hadn't come down with a big streak of lightning yet.
Right.
To punish them for their horrible attitudes. You know. But he did, eventually.
Right.
Came out and said, you know, I'm going to wipe out this generation and start over.
Yes. Yes, he was so tempted to do that, but Moses interceded for the people of God. Christ is our intercessor.
Yes.
He interceded for us. Stiff-necked people.
Yes.
Still stiff-necked people.
Don't
want to believe.
Worse today. Look at all the violence and murder and war and crime that's going on this very day. And they will sit there and say, those people in old times, they were so horrible. What? Compare them to today? They're worse today than they were then.
Same people.
Yeah.
Those unbelievers. That's what they are. They are unbelievers. And I want to go on this vein with you also. People are more or less saying, will you love me, Lord? If I give you 10% of all I own, will you love me, Lord, if I keep the Sabbath? Will you love me, Lord, if I don't eat pork? Will you love me, Lord, if I drink pop, wine, beer, whatever my flesh may call for? Not too excessively,
yeah.
Not to the point of sin, but will you still love me? Will you love me, Lord, if I follow all those 600 and some commandments that Moses laid upon the earth? Will you love me, Lord?
Yeah.
God is love. 1 John 4:8. He is love. You cannot change his nature. That is his nature.
That's right.
And he loves you. Yes, he does. You do not have. You can't pay him for it anyway.
No. I had a person that I was going out of the church, and I was, this is during the time when I was arguing against tithing. And this lady came up to me and said, well, this couple, and they said, you still don't believe in tithing? I said, no, not really. Not required tithing. And she said, well, we have to pay God back. And I said, how are you going to do that? You're going to pay God back because he paid for your sins. How are you going to pay him back for that?
Because if that was the case, you could have paid for your own sins, right?
Yeah. I know. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, how are you going to pay God back after he spilled his blood for you? How are you going to pay him back? That's the way we think in America a lot, I know, though. You know,
right. God did this for me, so I'm going to pay him back. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, you know, somebody stops because you can't get your engine started. He gives you a jump. And then you're, like, looking around trying to find him later on, so you could pay him back, you know, for his good deed. But you can't find him.
Right.
And I liken that to the gospel, you know. A lot of people can't stand it, the thought that Jesus just died for you on the cross for your sins to make you justified before the Lord on the day of judgment. And they can't stand it that somebody did all that work for them, because they're so taught that you pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Right, right.
And you do your own thinking, and you do your own forgiving, and all that stuff. But the Bible is quite often, the gospel of Christ is quite often backwards to the way the world thinks.
And you know what? What crossed my mind is, people try to bargain with God.
Yeah.
You can't bargain with God. Because you can't pay up.
There's no atheist in a foxhole. You know, somebody laying in the foxhole going, well, God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll become a pastor. I'll become a missionary.
I've been there before, Jeff. I've been there, okay?
If you get me out of this, I'll do this and I'll do that.
Wow. I'm like, Heidi, there's some things, parts of my life I have not shared, you know, and that was one of them. Yeah, I've been
understand.
On my knees, yeah, flat on my face on the floor, Lord, help me.
Because of our sinful nature.
Yes, because I am a wretch, you know, I saved by grace, amen.
We get to that point where, you know, you go get yourself a nice cold Pepsi and sit down, and you watch a TV, and you go, I can't go on like this. You know, I've been sinning so much lately that, and I, what do I do?
Pepsi?
What do I do?
My experience wasn't like that with a cold Pepsi. I was like, screaming and hollering and Lord help me, save me, right? Get a cold Pepsi and sit down across your legs, right? To be godly sorry is another experience.
Why sit there and go, I've got to let go of this sin somehow, get back on track, you know?
Yeah, and you have to give it to him.
Yeah. You can't do it yourself. We just don't have the strength to fight sin.
No.
You know, and that's another thing that I think a lot of people don't understand. People have been going to church for years, don't understand that the law was given to show us that we have sinned. To put a reflection on us, so we look in the mirror and we say, oh man, I am a wretched sinner. That's what the law does.
Right.
But the law doesn't save you.
No.
All it does is point out that you're a wretched sinner.
Imperfect.
Yeah. And so we have to switch over to grace, where Jesus died on the cross for those sins, and he wipes, and the thing of it is, it's so easy, he just wipes them out. When you ask for forgiveness, and you say, I want to repent, then he wipes them out. He gives you the strength to go on.
Right.
You know, and how many times I've done that? Gosh, I don't know. But I felt very condemned.
Yeah.
Over time, you know, and God eventually. But like I said, now some people would disagree with me, but I think the hardest thing, I can believe that God forgave me.
Yes.
But the hardest thing is to forgive yourself.
That too.
Because you're still condemning yourself for being so stupid.
Yes. You know?
But there's no need for it because the cross was already there.
And having no power over yourself.
Yeah, no power to fight it off.
Right. But God has given us the power of self-control. But I think that comes with a surrendered life.
Yes.
To Christ. That's the most hardest thing, is letting go of what you think you can do to obtain God's mercy, to obtain his grace, or to obtain favor in his sight, that we have to do cartwheels and jumping jacks and those
jump through hoops.
Yeah, jump through hoops, you know. I can walk on my hands, you know, and
yeah.
All that kind of stuff. No. God wants a surrendered will. He wants your heart.
Yes.
You want your heart.
I surrender all.
Yes,
I love that song.
I do too.
I love that song because it's like the guy that wrote Amazing Grace. What was his name? Well, anyways, he was in slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on one of those ships one time talking to a bunch of people, and he said, I just challenge you guys to bring up a sin I've never committed, and I'll go do it, you know. And, of course, eventually he got saved, you know. But he said, isn't it amazing all the atrocities I've committed in my life, and God forgives them in just 1 second, you know. Isn't that a lot easier than sitting there trying to figure out how to pay God back through the law? You know, I'll go pay my tithe, and I'll kneel at the altar, and confess my sins, and, you know.
Right. What can I do for you to love me, Lord?
Fix my neighbor's car, and,
right.
You know.
But he do say love your neighbor, but we can't even love them except we understand
but
that God loves us.
Was he doing it because he loved his neighbor?
Yeah.
No, because he loved himself.
Right.
You know.
We're selfish people.
I don't, a lot of times, if I do something good for somebody, I don't question myself. I don't go, did I do that because I love them or I love me or what? I don't do that. I just do it.
Right, and you should.
Try not to think about it.
Right,
you know?
Right. And you shouldn't, you know, I mean, that is the commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The commandment is love.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
As yourself.
Because we're not supposed to hate ourselves.
No.
Because it just gets in the way.
Right.
You know, if you hate yourself, eventually you're going to backslide. You know.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, you're going to get up in the morning and you go, I can't do any more of this gospel stuff. It's way over my head. You know, I'm a sinner and there's no changing that. I keep going back to the same old stuff all the time. What's the use? I'll just go ahead and drink myself into oblivion or whatever. Sometimes when people backslide, they don't even, they're not heavy into drinking or drugs or anything. They just give it up. You know, and it's easy to do in America to just blend in with the rest of the population, you know. You can always talk to somebody that's backslid.
That's true, but God has a saving grace for those
that... He'll get on your case.
Yes.
You go, okay, you backslid long enough, now I want to talk to you.
Yeah, he has a way of jacking you up.
Yeah.
By your collar, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now that's enough, all right? He has a way of doing that. He really does.
He's done it to me many times.
Yes. Yeah, it don't take too many times either. He's like, okay, I got the message, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. But God has a way of getting your attention because he loves you, and he wished that none would be lost. He hopes that all would be saved, you know, because he is the only Savior. He's the only way to heaven and to God. He is the only truth that we will ever experience or hear, and he offers the only life worth living. God does. The only life worth living.
When I first started driving the bus, I had only been a Christian for maybe, I got saved in 78, so I had been a Christian maybe 5 years or so. There's a lot of things I didn't know. You know, I didn't know God would jack you up for backsliding. I thought he'd just let you go, you know. And I have seen him chastise my enemies. You know, somebody that just keeps on messing with you. And God, you know, you're God's child. Mm-hmm. He'll come in and he'll jack them up.
Yes. Yes, he will.
I've seen him do it many times, you know.
Same here. Wow, Jeff, you know we're out of time. It doesn't even seem possible, but we are. Thank you, Jeff, for coming in and
I enjoyed it.
Shooting the breeze with us and talking about God's grace and his mercy and his love. And he is the only potentate. I love that scripture. The only potentate. You don't know what the potentate is?
What?
Our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he is the only one. So thank you for listening to A Voice of a People. Once again, we have enjoyed each and every one of you. Pray that this will not be your last time listening. Merry Christmas to everyone.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the holidays. For legendary broadcaster Charlie Evers and Scott Sp-